So AC 10:6-8. Behold, I am driving out from before your face the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, means the moving away then of evils and the falsities arising from them. This is clear from the meaning of driving out from before the face as moving or shifting something away from the interiors composing thought and affection. For driving out means moving or shifting something away, while the face means interior things. And the interiors of a human being are the things present in his understanding and will, or thought and affection. So that driving out from the face means moving evils and falsities away from these, and from the representation of the nations in the land of Canaan as evils and falsities. And it goes on to say, when it says that if he observed what Jehovah commanded, that being Moses, he would drive out those nations from before his face, the meaning is, if they carried out the chief commands laid down by eternal truth, evils and falsities would be moved or shifted away. Those commands are what comes next in the internal sense, the main ones being that they should acknowledge no other God than the Lord. And he is the source of everything good and everything true, and also that salvation and eternal life come from him. And when people who believe these things and love the truth of them are reading the word, everything evil and false is shifted away from them, because at that time the Lord enlightens them and leads them. At that time also, what they think does not originate in themselves, nor does their affection for the word originate in themselves, but in the Lord. Consequently, no evil at all, or falsity of evil, comes in, for the Lord moves them away. These are the ones who understand the word, have an affection for the truths derived from it, and also love to live in accord with them. Very good. So we're just focusing today on those few verses, and in those few verses we have mention of these Canaanite tribes. And so to look at these tribes and what they mean within us, we will draw from a number of sources over the coming weeks so we can get a better sense of what the Canaanites are spiritually. Now, our primary source, of course, will be the Word and the heavenly doctrines. But we can also draw from what is known of these people historically as to how they lived, and in particular, what is known concerning their religion or their religious worship. We can also look at the meanings of the words, and that's primarily what we're going to be doing today. We're going to go back to the root words of these tribes and come to see what's revealed in the word concerning their nature. So why do this? Well, as we have seen, intelligence gathering is an important undertaking in any military campaign. And we saw that Joshua began this process by sending out spies into the land to gain intelligence concerning what was there and what they were likely to meet. And this represents an essential element in our own spiritual growth and development. We need to acquire spiritual intelligence. And this involves discipline. It involves the discipline of self-examination, certainly, as we have seen many times. The whole point of self-examination is to get a little insight into the quality of the states of life that are active within us. So we become conscious so that these things don't govern us unconsciously. So the word is given to us that we might find our way forward in our spiritual life. In the Gospels, we find that the Lord on a number of occasions healed the blind. Now for us, the Lord is the word. And it is only as we take the word as the basis for our spiritual life that our blindness to the destructive inner states of life can be healed. Everything in the Word is given for our spiritual welfare. It all has to do with the mind and the Lord's interaction by means of truth and goodness with us. Nothing there, in that sense, needs to be taken historically. God is not interested in giving us a history lesson. What he is interested in is leading us into spiritual wholeness. And that requires giving us a way of reading the Word so that our minds can be opened up and that we can see what lies within. Now, this knowledge is not given to us on a platter, because if it was, we would never come to value it. The Lord knows this, and he knows it has to be a part of us. So he has created conditions whereby we have to work at it. We have to bring our will to bear on acquiring spiritual intelligence. Now, to acquire this knowledge of spiritual things, it requires intelligence. But this is not the kind of intelligence that's measured as IQ. That is worldly intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is to value what is true because it is true. If a person values what is true, that is, if they are spiritually intelligent, then they will see that the Word is vital to their life, that it must be worked with and applied to their inner life. Intelligent behavior in regard to spiritual things is to do what truths say. Insanity in spiritual things is to know truths and not do them, because it is only by means of truths that we can be opened up to the life of heaven. Now, the Word, in giving us the names of these tribes of the Canaanites that the Lord says he's going to evict from the land, these are given to build our spiritual intelligence. So if we can get more of a handle on understanding what these things are, what these tribes represent, then we can begin to operate more intelligently in terms of our responses to what life throws at us. However, it can't be lost on us that before we can even get to these tribes, we have to cross the Jordan. And so these tribes, and seeing these tribes, we can know they're there, but unless we actually cross over that Jordan, they just remain in possession of the land. So if we're going to come into contact with, or if the armies of Israel, that is the truths that we have in our memory, are going to be able to come across the Jordan and come into contact with the Canaanites, then we need to know what principles are involved in crossing over the Jordan, because this is the first thing that needs to happen if we're actually going to deal with these lower things that exist within our life. And so the general teaching concerning the Jordan here is this. The heavenly doctrines describe the Jordan in this case as falsities from evil. Now, this is a rather technical term, and I don't know how much meaning it has for you. It is a very common term used throughout the heavenly doctrines, so it's important that we get a sense of what it means for us. Falsities from evil. Now, the Jordan River, as this raging torrent, represents what prevents us from entering into the land and facing the enemies of the heavenly life, or facing what prevents states of love and goodness being a much bigger part of our life. The river as falsity that flows from evils represents a torrent of thought, of thinking, that flows from negative emotions. Negative emotions are the evils that give rise to negative thinking. And that negative thinking becomes a torrent in the sense that once it's got a hold of us, it dominates our life. Now, these lower emotions are evils because they are concerned primarily with self and the world. It has me at the center. And so when they are active, they separate us from others. And most crucially, they separate us from our sense of the Lord's presence with us. So when these negative emotions get hold of us and the torrent of thoughts that flow from them flood into our minds, we are much less able to remember the Word, to remember the principles and teachings of the Word at that time. So we lose touch with that side of ourselves that remembers our connection to the Lord, to spiritual life, to charity and to love. We can say that, well, how can we possibly see the enemies within when our thoughts are occupied with all this negative thinking that flows from harboring negative emotions? We just can't do it. We can't be in that and be in truths and goods from the Lord. Our sense of self will either be caught up with one or be grounded in the other. So it requires discipline. We all know this. If we've ever tried to stem the flow of negative thinking that flows from negative emotions, we know it requires discipline and work to actually see that that thing is stemmed within us. So this story of crossing over the Jordan River, what it teaches is that it's very important that we use the truths that we've been given in order to stem the flow of negative thinking that flows from negative states of emotion. And we need to do this as soon as we realize what's happening. Because when we realize what's happening, or we get a sense of what's happening, in that moment we have a choice. We have a choice to do something that will bring a different state or outcome. And so with this story, we could actually build a task. And by building a task out of the story, we could apply this task over the course of a set period of time, perhaps over the next week, so that we can get a sense of its reality in our life. We could set a task to be aware, to be conscious, to be more conscious of when our thoughts are caught up and are flowing from negative emotions. And then when we see ourselves caught up in these negative patterns of thinking regarding others or regarding ourselves in terms of negative self-talk, we can remind ourselves of what the story of the Jordan River teaches. And that's the key. Because when we remind ourselves of the truths that are embodied within this story, then we are put in a position where we have a choice. We are empowered by the Lord to walk a different way. When we remember the story in the midst of the torrent, we will find that we are given power that is able to stem the flow of thoughts. This is the Lord's power because it's from His Word, from our understanding of His Word. In that moment, we remember what belongs to the spiritual life. The story can remind us, shock us into seeing this thing in us and then knowing that there is another way that we are aware of and can be more conscious of. We remember that what belongs to the spiritual life, that is love and charity, is unable to exist in the midst of negative emotions and uncharitable thoughts. So this remembering of ourselves, of our true self, of where the Lord wants us to be in connection with Him, this is what it means to step into the waters. Remembering the Word, the Ark of the Covenant being carried, stepping into the waters, bringing spiritual principles down into consciousness, stems the flow of negative thinking and negative emotion. So this remembering of ourselves is very, very important. And it's because lower and higher thinking can't exist in the same psychological space. If we are conscious of spiritual principles that remind us that negative thinking is opposed to the spiritual life and that it's not healthy, that we have a choice, and that we are free not to think from what is lower if we choose not to, we will find that our state will shift from being in the negative torrent, and a way is made for us to cross over and face those things that are protected by these negative streams of thought that exist as our lower habitual responses to things we find make us uncomfortable. So in Joshua 3:10, we find what this negative form of thinking actually protects. We have seven tribes, seven Canaanite tribes mentioned there that exist in the land of Canaan, that the Lord says he will evict, he will cast out. And these are the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Now it's easy when you're reading these kinds of names just to switch off. But you have to, particularly in these sorts of passages in the Word, you actually have to make a conscious effort to switch on. Because there is something here. You know, the Lord isn't giving us a history lesson, as I mentioned. He's not interested in that. He's interested in giving us spiritual information and knowledge that can help us move forward. So these tribes are mentioned because they embody something that is within the human mind that needs eradicating from our life. And these names are general descriptions of the mental states that negative emotions and thinking represented by the Jordan River protect. Because when we're caught up in all that stuff, we don't bother looking any deeper. But we need to catch ourselves because there is a better way. There's a higher way. So if we work to stem the flow of our negative thinking, we open the way for the truths of the Word represented by the sons of Israel sitting there on the wilderness side of the Jordan River to come across. And, you know, these sons of Israel, these are the truths of the Lord's Word that you have in your mind already. These can come across, and they come across as a fighting army, truths that are able to defeat what is false. But we have to stem the flow first so that they can come across and do their work, so that they can penetrate deeper into our life and confront the evils and falsities that belongs to those loves that flow out of our proprium or ego. Here's a reading from the Arcana Celestia. This is number 10638. And this says this: "Behold, I am driving out from before your face the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. This means moving away then of evils and the falsities arising from them. This is clear from the meaning of driving out from before the face as moving or shifting something away from the interiors, composing thought and affection. For driving out means moving or shifting something away, while the face means interior things." Now, the face means interior things because Our emotions are expressed, what's inner is expressed through the face. So the face represents interior things. And the interiors of a human being are the things present in his understanding and his will, or thought and affection. So that driving out from the face means moving evils and falsities away from these and from the representation of the nations in the land of Canaan as evils and falsities. The basic message there is that these tribes have something to do with the will and the understanding, or our thoughts and affections. Something that's taken possession of them. Because the Lord is not there. We haven't brought him to bear upon these things within our life. So in order to have these things removed, we have to follow what the Lord commands. It's when we do what the Lord commands that he will drive out those nations before the face. And so the meaning is that if the Israelites, if we carry out the chief commands laid down by eternal truths, evils and falsities will be moved or shifted away. Those commands are what come next in the internal sense. The main ones being that they should acknowledge no other God than the Lord, that he is the source of everything good and true, and also that salvation and eternal life come from him. And when people who believe these things and love the truth of them, when they're reading the word, everything evil and false is shifted away from them, because at that time the Lord enlightens them and leads them. At that time also, what they think does not originate in themselves, nor their affection for the word originate in themselves, but in the Lord. So we need to remember that everything to do with the spiritual life originates in the Lord. Consequently, no evil at all or falsity of evil comes in, for the Lord moves them away. These are the ones who understand the word, have an affection for the truths derived from it, and so love to live in accord with them. So the meanings of the Canaanite tribes given here are general. They're general meanings, but more can be seen of their nature or quality as they relate to mental states when we look into the meanings of their names. And this is a fascinating exercise. So we do this by going back to the root words in the Hebrew language and seeing those words that relate to each other or to those roots. Now the term Canaanite, this term traces its root from a word meaning what is low. No surprise, given what we know of the Canaanites. So we are immediately reminded of what is low, that this spiritually equates what is most external. Okay? So what belongs to the love of self? That's what lowness is. But the word also carries the meaning of merchandising, of trading. Also carries the meaning of the wares that are traded. And the activity in life of the love of self is to constantly trade off what is higher through justifications for what is lower. Okay? It trades off higher loves for lower loves. And so this idea of trading and merchandising, this brings us back to the idea of the love of the world. Again, no surprise. Canaanites are love of self, love of the world. It's what is external. There you go. But what is also interesting about this root is that it's related to other roots that share a common meaning. And the common meaning across these root words is domination. Domination. And we know that the heavenly doctrines state very clearly that the love of self is the love of domination, getting one's own way. It's a love of dominating others for your own advantage. Now, just listen to other meanings related to this word. Extortion, drawing out what you want from a person with no consideration for them. Extortion. Interesting, isn't it? Force, forcing your views over another, not leaving them in freedom. Here's one. Envy, connected to that idea of merchandising and trading. This is the love of the world starting to come out. Also related to a word that means vilify, which is to defame someone, to criticize them, to speak ill of them, and to cast dispersions on their character. So now we know why these Canaanites represent what they do. The message is in the meaning of the word itself. Now these qualities speak to negative things in the human proprium or the ego. And even the history of Canaan, who is the father of the Canaanites, his history in the word adds weight to these qualities. Well, hopefully you're familiar with it, but there's a story in Genesis chapter 9, and it tells us that after the flood, and Noah came out of the ark, and he went and he planted a vineyard. And he got drunk. Now, in his drunken state, lying there in his tent naked, his son Ham came across him, saw him there lying naked, and went out to his brothers and looked to expose Noah to ridicule, and called his brothers Shem and Japheth to come in and have a look. But Ham's brothers would have none of it. And what they did is they placed a garment on their shoulders. And they choose to cover their father's nakedness by walking into where Noah was backwards so that they wouldn't see him. And they covered him with the garment. Now there is a contrast between charity and the love of self. Stark contrast in that story. The actions of Ham of exposing others, exposing what we might see as being a weakness or a problem with them, this drew a curse that came down on Canaan, Ham's son. And this means spiritually that the kind of behavior produces nothing but an accursed offspring. You can't get anything good out of wanting to show another person up. It just doesn't happen. So the meaning for the root word for Canaanite, as we have seen, fits very well with what is lower. And so for this reason, the term Canaanite carries the general meaning of evils. Now the other tribes are further offspring from Canaan. Other states spring as offspring from the general condition, and these are mentioned as these various tribes, the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites. Now the word from which we get Hittite is Cheth or Heth. And this is the name of the father of the Hittites. And Heth was son of Canaan. So we have a descending series here. This word means to subdue. And it carries the meaning of breaking up. Carries the meaning of fear and breaking down courage. It means what is frightening, and it is used to describe in the word a state of panic or anxiety. Now, the common theme that runs across all the related root words to this word is that of piercing. And we get meanings like to cut, to tear off, to frighten. So we can see from this that this is closely related to states of worry, anxiety, panic, fear, all these things. These things cut and tear at our courage, causes doubt, breaks us down, breaks us up. And so when we're left broken and in fear, we become open to invasion and attack. And this idea of broken and fear, this speaks of these states and how they can break our connection to the Lord and remove us from a sense of His presence. That's what we find in this tribe called the Hittites. Now, a similar word is that of the Hivites. Now, the Hivites, the root word for Hivite means walls of protection. And it is used of walled villages, and it means to hide or conceal. Words related to this root carry meanings of covering over in a bad way. Transgression means to confuse, to scurry, to be secretive, to darken, to bind or restrain. And so it relates to ideas of defensiveness and self-protection, of building walls, of keeping others out, of holding secrets, of whispering, scurrying, hiding under things. And so in a negative sense, it speaks of hiding transgressions through being secretive and using them to cause confusion. Fascinating what you find in these words. Perezite means to open up or to break through. The meaning it shares with its related roots is one of breaking and spreading or dispersing, separating, breaking connections. And this is what false perspectives do. When we carry false perspectives, we cannot see truths. In fact, we begin to find a process takes place whereby truths and their connection to what is good becomes broken, separated. And truth then becomes something harsh and used to judge others rather than something that leads to what is good. Hence we find the Perezite described in the heavenly doctrines are said to mean falsities that arise from evils. Those falsities that look to shore up our own position and pull others down. Now, there's very little information in the Word or the heavenly doctrines concerning the Gergashites. But the best language authorities relate this word tentatively back to a root word which means something not very pleasant, a scabby skin disease. So this probably could connect with ideas of old emotional wounds that have not properly healed, that are just covered over and are easily opened up when we suffer hurt or are offended. And in the word we have the Amorites. And these are often mentioned in connection with the Perizzites. And they are the particular evils from which the falsity represented by the Perizzites flow. The Amorites were hill dwellers, mountain dwellers, and they represent elevated pride. They represent, from its root, we get a sense of self-righteousness, of an ability to pull things together in terms of thought and the bluster that comes from making ourselves look good on the outside but not really living a life of charity from within. So we get a sense here of all talk and no action, or saying the right things but no life in accordance with what's being professed externally. And finally we come to the Jebusites. Now, the Jebusites are described as having an Amorite in the prophets, as an Amorite as a father and a Hittite for a mother. So the Jebusites' last mention seems to embody all of them. Now, the root means, in terms of Jebusite, the root means to tread down on an object or trampling. And fascinating enough, it shares a meaning with other roots that are related to it, and the general meaning is to act negatively. To act negatively. That's actually what the word means. So with the related words to this one, we have the idea of to tread down, to deceive, to shatter, to despise, and to scatter. So all again, negative behaviors that we see in ourselves if we care to look, because they are found within our proprium. So those are the seven tribes, and we'll leave it there for now, but hopefully you get a sense of the importance of looking beyond the historical elements of the word, and how that when we know that there is a spiritual meaning within the word, and that this inner meaning relates to our own life, that what we have in the word, in these stories, what we have is invaluable tools for advancing the spiritual life within us. They are tools by which we can gain spiritual intelligence. That is what it's about, getting spiritual intelligence. That is the intelligence that sees truths and desires to live from them. Not just know them, know about them, but actually get across that Jordan. It's spiritually intelligent to stop that stem, or to stem that flow of that torrent, so that we can cross over and have the Lord eradicate these things from our life. If we would do that, then the Lord can have a much more positive influence over our life. Amen.